Amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ truly be our vision as we come to his word this morning. Let's ask his help. Father, we come to you now and we do ask, Lord, that you would make yourself manifest amongst us, Father, by your Spirit. We know that you revealed yourself to your disciples and to so many others, Lord, after your death and resurrection. And Lord, you said that you would make yourself known. You said if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto yourself. And this morning we ask that we would see you high and lifted up. And Father, that we would comprehend what you are speaking to us through your word. We thank you that the Bible speaks this morning. We thank you that we've not come to a dead letter, Lord. We've not come to a dead religion this morning, but we have the living words of the living God. And so I pray that you would hide me, Lord, as you would, Lord, behind the veil, Lord, that your name would be exalted this morning. Father, that you would put a razor to my tongue, Lord, if I'm to speak anything but your word today, Lord, that you would, Lord, stop me from anything that would hinder your people, Lord. I pray you would take the glory and you would be magnified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to hear from God? I trust your week has been a blessing and that your week in his word has been a blessing also. Your week in family fellowship and in the study and the love to this word, the Bible. And I've been blessed this week and been privileged again to stand here today, Wayne not being with us. So I'm thankful for the opportunity. And I thank the Lord also that they're back with us and that we'll see them shortly. Last week we looked at the early life of the Lord Jesus. And so coming out of our time in the Christmas period and where we had his word brought to us and we were able to sing of his coming and of his incarnation. We looked last week at the early life of the Lord Jesus. There's not that much written in Scripture. We're reading in Luke chapter 2 last week and just we've been continuing on this morning with our Bible reading. And the Lord Jesus, just to recap very briefly from last week's meeting, we looked at the Lord Jesus and his early life. And as I said, there's not much written there. But we can gather from his words further and old, as he was beyond 30 and has began his ministry, we can gather from his words that he was one who was submitted to the will of the Father. And that was really the focus of our message last week, was that submission to the will of the Father. He submitted in all points. He was the perfect child, perfectly obedient and without any blemish. And so this morning we come to an account where he kind of disobeys his parents. Not entirely. And we're going to look at the aspects of obedience to God and also walking in God's favour, how to walk in God's favour. So in the second chapter of Luke, as we read, from verse 40, if we could please turn there, we read these words, Luke 2, verse 40. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favour with God and man. In favour with God and man. Well, it's an amazing thing to be able to walk in favour with God and with man. And we know the Lord Jesus, he began to walk in favour with God and man. So considering last week's sermon and his dedication in the temple up to age 12, and now considering his age 12 until he begins his ministry, we see that he increases in wisdom and in stature. He grows in favor with God and with man. And that's an amazing blessing. We know that soon after that period, when he began his ministry and he began to preach, many were offended, many turned back. And certainly he maintained favor with God, though he fell out of favor with man. Not all, but he fell out of favor with man. So the Lord Jesus' words and his power and his preaching offended many. And many turned away and stopped following after him. And yet John says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in verse 14 of John 1. John says the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ came and he dwelt among us. And this is talking about him after he revealed himself. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And also in verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Why are people offended by grace and by truth? Why are people today offended when they're offered grace and when they hear the truth? Why is man offended? Why in my flesh was I offended? Why? Because in my flesh there is no good thing, and my flesh does not comprehend the things of God. But John says, when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, when the Word was revealed, he saw grace. He saw truth. And I pray that's all of us in here this morning. When we look to the Lord Jesus, that we would see grace, that we would see truth. But friends, without the law and without the subjection to the will of God, and without Jesus' upbringing, we cannot even understand what grace means. Without the law, the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, we can't even understand what grace is. Because, you know, grace is not a cheap thing. And truth is also not a cheap thing. It is something that Christ paid for with his blood. And he grew strong in spirit, we read. He was filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. And friends, today I want to just look at how we personally, how I, how you can walk in favor with God. And you know, there's a certain favor with God that we receive when we are born again, when we are saved. There is an immense favor there. We now have the one who intercedes, who stands on our behalf. And the same way that God treats his Son, Jesus Christ, God now treats us. In that same power, in that same magnitude, we come into the fellowship of God because we are co-heirs with Christ. But how, as we walk along in this Christian life, it's true that we can fall out of fellowship. It's true that we can allow things to cause us to stumble. But how can we, friends, walk in favor with God and in favor with man? And the key here is to know the life of the Lord Jesus. And his life was conformed to God's will. And he grew in wisdom. And friends, in Proverbs 9:10, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So Jesus Christ walked in the fear of the Lord. He walked in the fear of his Father in a very reverential and a very true sense. If he could be conformed to the will of the Father, if he walked in obedience to his Father, surely he also feared the Lord. It's an amazing mystery that the Son, who is Yahweh, who is God, yet he has this subjection, yet he has this conformity to the will of the Father. He's the one who said, I can do nothing of my own. I can do nothing of my own. And he relied on the Father till he cried out tears of blood on that rock and said, not my will, but yours be done, right unto the end. So he learns the fear of God. So we consider his first years and we consider pre-ministry. He walks in the fear of God. Friends, we need that today. We need to walk in the fear of the Lord. We need to understand the beginning of wisdom. He grew strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom. What's the beginning of that? How do we start there? How do we get wisdom? It's through the fear of the Lord and through the knowledge of the holy, understanding and wisdom. And so we come and we look up at the stars and we consider what He has made and we consider His vastness and greatness. And friends, this is not a cheap message. This is not a cheap God or a cheap religion. I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you and exhort you this morning that what we possess and what Christ possessed is precious. The fear of the Lord is an immense gift, friends. It can't be bought or sold. You know, if you have the fear of the Lord in your heart, it's like that precious gift which Christ had, that He was filled with wisdom. And you know, when He disputed with the lawyers and the doctors, and they were all astonished, it's because He knew the law inside out. And so He answered them on every point. He opened His mouth and they were amazed, and He's 12 years old. And He's sitting there and His parents came and found Him with this company of the doctors, of the teachers of the law. And so He knew the law. He was subject to the law. He loved the law. This is an amazing thing, how a person can fear God and love the law of God. I tell you, if you love Jesus Christ, you will love the law of God. You will love the commandments of God. In your flesh, you know, it strives against that. It fights. That's the war we talked about last week. The war of conformity where Paul says, you know, the spirit and the flesh do battle. My flesh wants to go one way, like that sheep that needs to, you know, be directed. But the Spirit of God, if He will have hold of me, if He will take charge, if I will let Him reign in me, then He will lead me the right way, and that way will be the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One. And I will love the law. I will say with David, I love your law. The psalmist, I love your word. I love the law of God. How can that be? You know, it condemns us. It shows us that we fall short. But friends, when we understand that we are in Christ, when we understand that we who are His, who belong to Him, are part and parcel of who He is. You know, He is the law. He is the word written on our hearts. And so in Christ now and in the Spirit, we love the law. We love the word of God. Not that letter which kills, but the Spirit which gives life, friends, in us. And that will produce in us grace and truth. Friends, when we understand the law, when we have the fear of God in us, we will understand grace. We will understand the cost. And we will understand what grace has wrought in us and what we have been saved from. And we will be full as Jesus was, full of grace and truth. They beheld Him. He was manifest. He revealed Himself to man. And He was full of grace and He was full of truth. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so Christ, we see, is revealed and He grows and He's filled with wisdom. The grace of God is upon Him. And now, friends, how can we walk in favor with God? How can the God of the universe be pleased with us? And it's all in Christ, friends. It's all in Christ. But there is a responsibility. And our obedience and our reaction, our response to Christ, that's our daily decision. That's our daily choice. Looking at the broader picture, we have Christ who intercedes for us. We have God who looks down at us and He sees the blood. But friends, we have a daily choice to make and we have a daily walk and a daily cross to bear. I read the proverb, if we could have a look at Proverbs 3, please. I read the proverb this week and I was concentrating on the early life of Jesus. And so I'm just picturing Jesus in His early life and I'm considering Him walking in wisdom. And, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I consider His conformity, His obedience to the will of the Father. And then I read Proverbs chapter 3 and I thought, that's talking about Christ. That's God the Father talking to his Son Jesus Christ. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. There it is, in the sight of God and man. So the Lord hit me with a lightning bolt this week when I was considering his early life, and I opened up Proverbs 3 to read to the children, and I began to weep. I said, God, that's you. You're talking to your son, not just us. You're not just talking to us in this passage, but God the Father is speaking to Jesus, his son. My son, forget not my law. Let thine heart keep my commandments. What a relationship they had. A 3-year-old, a 4-year-old Jesus, a 5, a 10, a 12-year-old Christ, with a relationship with a father, and the father saying, forget not my law. Keep my commandments. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Eternal life, friends. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Isn't that like grace and truth? Isn't mercy and truth like grace and truth? Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. There we have it. The law of God written in your heart. The law of God, the very word of God, the commandments of God, obedience. This is something that's now not on tablets of stone, which are hard and cold, but it's on the fleshly tables of the heart, as Hebrews says. It's on the inward. And we find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. There's the key. To find favor in the sight of God and man. You know what I consider favor to be? It's when you have the wind behind your back. It's like when you're driving and you've got the sun behind you, not in your eyes. I don't know if some of you have driven around this Christmas period and you've had the sun in your eyes. Well, the favor of God is like that sun behind you and that wind behind your back. It's like what you put your hand to in life, friends, it prospers. Because you fear God. What you put your mind to can be accomplished because you're walking in the will of God. You're not striving in your flesh trying to get ahead in this life. But you love the law of God. You love the word of God. And so you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. And you find it in the sight of man also. You don't go out of your way to offend people. You don't go out of your way to, turn people away, to turn them offside to you. Friends, we know that the Lord Jesus, as he began his ministry, he found that favor. But you know, with some people, the further you go and the deeper in the word, many are offended and will reject what you say and will reject you and your friendship if you stand up for Jesus Christ. But our intention, as Paul also says in Romans, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's what we strive to do. That's what we desire to do. And the Lord Jesus certainly desired to do that. He did not come to offend men. He did not come to set men against him. But that took place, friends, because of who he was. Because light entered darkness, and there had to be friction. Salt came into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ was revealed. So friends, the proverb teaches us, and further on in verse 21 it says, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. So the law and the word of God, let it not depart from us. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. You know, we don't start at the wrong end, friends, of the spectrum. We start where Jesus started. We start and we see the pattern of his life. And in the Christian walk, we can learn much from Christ. We can learn much from his early years. We can learn much from him being in the temple at age 12, where he was brave enough to leave, to stay behind, and as his parents left, he did not sin against his father. He did not sin against God. We may say that the child disobeyed, and yet it didn't. He was in favor with God. He was about his father's business. And yet at the same time, he never once sinned or disobeyed. And we see there, there's a picture of obedience to God rather than men. Obedience to God rather than men. That's the first thing. You know, many of us start at the wrong end, and I know in my own life, I've fallen on this point often, where I try to find favor in the sight of man and God. Friends, it's the other way around. We find favor in the sight of God. And as much as is possible, we live peaceably with all men. We live in harmony with those we work with. We live in our families, in our extended families, and those who do not love the Lord and do not know His word. And we attempt to live as much as lieth, as much as is possible within us, with them. But friends, don't let this society, this world, this flesh rule us, rule you. Our first prerogative and our priority is to walk in favor with God. To walk in favor with the living God. And we can do that by the fear of the Lord. You know, we won't be worried about what man thinks, what our peers think. Young people, friends, you won't be concerned about being rejected by your friends if you stand up for Christ. You won't fear being ridiculed at work because you stand up for Jesus Christ and you fear Him and walk in His ways. You know, walking in the fear of the Lord means you're walking in His favor. It's a simple thing, but it's so, so profound. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, Jesus Christ, when He began His ministry, He was baptized. And the word came from heaven in Luke chapter 3. We read it. The next chapter over in Luke 3:22, the Holy Ghost descends upon him, and the voice comes from heaven, which says, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Consider that for a moment. The Holy Ghost descends in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. This is now as he begins his ministry, he's baptized, and a voice, the Father's voice now comes. See, there was 30 years of preparation. There were 30 years of conformity to the will of God. There were 30 years of walking in the fear of God, and I do not suggest that that ceased after age 30. But as he begins his ministry now, the word of God, the word of the Father comes and says, "Thou art my beloved Son." Are we beloved? Do you feel that love from your Father, friends? Do you feel beloved? Beloved. That personal love that He has for you. You know, the deeper you walk in fear and reverence to God, the more you will understand that you are beloved. The more grace and truth will come from you, from your mouth and from your life. The more your personal life is walking in conformity to the known will of God and in the fear of God, you know, condemnation won't come from your mouth. Judgment won't come from your mouth because you walk in the fear of God. But friends, love will come from your mouth. Grace will come from your mouth and truth. You know, those who walk outside of the fear of God, condemnation comes from their mouths. Judgment comes from their mouths. Because they have not understood that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And you know, to walk in favor with God as Jesus walked is incredible. I mean, He fulfilled the law to the very nth degree, and He was the Word of God in flesh embodied. And here He is baptized by a man, and He humbles Himself to our low estate. And He shows us the pattern And the word comes from the Father, "Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." I want to just digress for a moment. Fathers, we need to affirm with our boys how beloved they are and how pleased we are in them. Whether your children are 2 years old or 20 or 30 or 40, fathers, we need to affirm in our children, not just our boys, but in our children, how they are beloved. They need to know that. They need to know that in them we're well pleased. When we see them, even our children who struggle with certain things, and we're there as caretakers for them, as parents. We need to let them know that they are beloved and that we are pleased with them. And look at the Father. The Father from heaven says, "I'm well pleased because you're not rebellious. You're not walking your own way. You've conformed and you're walking in the fear of the Lord." Friends, are you walking in favor with God? Are you straying? Are you feeling his chastisement this morning, perhaps? That, you know, you've strayed from a path, you've strayed from that first love, and you feel that things are happening in life which are not going to plan. You don't see that wind behind your back. Friends, go back to the basics. Go back to that fear. Go back to that knowledge of the Holy One. Walk in that love. Walk in that first love. Because to walk in the fear of the Lord is to know that you're beloved. I can't separate the two. I just cannot. If you walk in God's fear and love his law, grace and truth will come from your mouth. Because the law is written on your heart and you know you fall short and you can't give out any judgment and you can't give out any condemnation because you know yourself you deserve the wrath of God. You deserve the condemnation. And so, Jesus Christ, his words were full of grace and truth. In the psalm, and this is a very practical psalm, Psalm 128, we read of a certain one that fears the Lord. And this is perhaps a very well-known psalm among us here. And perhaps it's your own, you know, family psalm or something you hold dear. Let's have a look at it again. Psalm 128, it's just six verses. You know, it can speak of the whole life of a man in these six verses, friends. The whole life of your own life can be summed up in these six verses. "Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord and walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." Amazing. Blessed is everyone. The whole life of mankind can be summed up. Your life, if you want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, take this psalm. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord. You're blessed already by the gift of fear in your heart, of reverence and fear, holy fear to God. And that walketh in his ways. Jesus Christ came before us and he said, "Walk, follow me." Paul said, "Walk even as I have walked." Consider how I've walked. It's a practical thing. I take up my cross daily and I follow him. "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands." David says, you know, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread." I've never seen the righteous man forsaken nor his children begging for bread. "Happy thou shalt be, it shall be well with thee." Oh, it's well with my soul. Can you sing that this morning? Can you sing that out to the rooftop? It is well with my soul. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. There shall be fruitfulness. There shall be there in that relationship. You know, fruit is good to eat. I had one man tell it to me very simply like this once, an elder in the church. He said, those people over there, he's a very simple man. He said, those people over there, I tasted their life. The fruit's good. The fruit is good. You know, you can know by a person's life whether the fruit is good, whether there is encouragement, exhortation, whether there's love, and all those things flowing from that life and flowing from that mouth, because that heart is hidden in Christ, and that heart has the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One. And so in a relationship like that, the wife is fruitful. It is a good tasting fruit. The children are like olive plants around about the table. So there is a blessing that goes down onto the next generation. And there's life. They're alive. There is spiritual life there as olive plants that grow up around the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, from the place of God. And you will see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Do we see the good of Jerusalem today, friends? Do we see the good of the church? Do we see how in the midst of so much warrings and strivings and fightings and doctrinal divisions and all those things, do we see the good of Jerusalem? Do we see that the Lord has prospered us, his body, and that he will bring to completion what he has begun in us as a body? Can we see that? We'll see the good all the days of our life, and we'll see our children's children, and ultimately, that peace upon Israel, that final peace, that final rest when we go away from here. We will see the peace upon Israel. We will see that God has intended us to live on this earth a life that is pleasing to him. And then when we go to be with him forever, we will be forever in peace. What a wonderful psalm. It strikes me every time in those words how the life of man is summed up in those verses. So friends, Jesus Christ, returning to our text as we close this morning. Returning to our text, Luke chapter 2. He lives a life of conformity. He lives a life of obedience to the will. And now he comes at age 12, and we understand that he has understood the law. He has understood the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the holy. He is disputing with the doctors and the teachers of the law at age 12, and they are amazed and astonished at his answers. This is flowing from his mouth, and they cannot comprehend that a 12-year-old boy is seated amongst us, and we've been studying this for 50 years of our life, and he knows the answers like that. And he's speaking things to us. Wonderful. You know, often it's written in Scripture, Jesus opened his mouth, and they were amazed. They were astonished at his doctrine. No one ever spoke like this. He speaks as one, not like the scribes, but he speaks as one with authority. And Jesus Christ, he walks in the favor of God. And dear friends, I want to say this morning, the fear of God, to walk in that reverence, that holy fear, and the understanding of the Holy One is to have God's favor, is to have the wind at your backs, is to walk in a way where you are subjecting yourself daily. You are taking up that cross and following Christ, where the Spirit of God is bringing things to light in your personal life, and you're dealing with those things. The Spirit of God's alive in you. You're not quenching that. That voice, that which is written on the tablets of your heart, it's there already. You live an unhappy life if you fight it. But that which is written on your heart, That obedience and conformity, that shows that we love Christ. He said it four times in the gospel, did he not? In John, if you love me, obey my commands. Do you love me? Obey my word. Do you love me? Do we love the Lord Jesus today? Amen. Do we love his word? Do we love to fear him in the right way of holiness? And so we come and the child grows and the child becomes a man. And none of these things depart from him. And ultimately he is crucified for us, for you and for me. And friends, we can understand now by his Spirit in our hearts, we can understand grace and truth if we first understood the law and the fear of God. And so my encouragement to you this morning and my prayer is, my desire, is that we would be a people. We would be a people who model our lives on Jesus Christ. Model our lives on the God of the universe. And that we would learn of him. He says, learn of me. I'm meek, I'm humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just come to you this morning and Lord, we bring ourselves as we are. You know us through and through, Lord. You know me through and through, God. And I just have a desire to know you more, Lord. And I have a desire that your people, Lord, would know you more. I have a desire, Lord, and I believe I speak for us here, that we would understand the fear of the Lord and we would have our first love rekindled, Lord, that it would be burning brighter than the day we first believed, Lord, that dedication and that desire for you, Lord, might be greater than when we first believed, Father. And so we pray this prayer this morning as a congregation. Lord, forgive us our trespasses and forgive us our coldness, Lord. Forgive us our half-heartedness, Lord. And teach us the fear of the Lord in a society that ridicules and mocks you, Lord. In a world, Lord, that is hell-bent on evil, God. Lord, we pray for those people that we know, Lord, are on their way to hell, whom we work with, who are in our families, Lord. God, teach us the fear of the Lord at home. Teach us how to respond to them. Teach us how to live and dwell amongst people who do not fear you, God. Teach us how to produce grace and truth out of our lips to a people, Lord, who do not comprehend it in their hearts. And so be with us, Lord, as your people. Help each one. As that psalm said, Lord, help each family. As we go out from here, Lord, help us to fear you and walk in your ways. Teach us, Lord, the model of your life. Teach us how you walked, Lord, in obedience to your heavenly Father. Lord, that we would also know in our hearts that word from heaven. You are my beloved. In you I'm well pleased. Because of the Son. Yes, because of his sacrifice. But because we are conforming daily. Because we are personally also responding. Lord Jesus, perfect your work in us. We ask for this in your precious name, Lord. We ask that we might grow in grace and in truth and in wisdom, Lord. Teach us, Lord. Teach us how to live godly family lives, Lord, as the psalm taught us. Teach us how to have fruitful relationships, Lord, that we might taste fruit in each other's lives, in our families, and say that is good fruit. That we might see our children grow up as olive plants, around about our table, Lord. Lord, they're not born for condemnation. Lord, you're giving children into the house of God that they may be for your glory, Lord. And so do that, Lord. Do that in us. We ask your blessing in this, Lord. In Jesus' name.